This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This month is American Indian Heritage Month, and we're recognizing it in several ways in North Carolina. We on this program will start by looking at American Indian involvement in higher education. For the last 3 years, enrollment of American Indian students at UNC's system has declined. Today, there are fewer than 100 American Indians among the 19,000 undergrad students at UNC Chapel Hill, and graduation rates for these students are sinking as well. Amy Locklear-Hertel is director of the American Indian Center at UNC Chapel Hill, and she's one of the founders of Alpha Pi Omega Sorority, the country's oldest Native American Greek letter organization. Amy, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Also with us, Ben Fry, postdoctoral fellow in American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill and a member of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. Ben, good to have you here as well. Welcome.
Thank you.
Amy, tell us about your research regarding American Indian enrollment at the UNC system.
Well, the data that we currently are looking at started in 2010 through the current year of 2013, and the enrollment of both undergraduate and graduate students has been on the decline. Now, the reason, Frank, that we picked 2010 to really start comparing the data is because that's the year that the U.S. Census changed the way in which individuals could self-identify themselves. So starting in 2010, American Indians were able to self-identify as American Indian only or American Indian plus some other race or ethnicity. So the numbers that we are reporting and discussing here today are for those who identified as American Indian only.
Is this so? It might be then difficult to compare before 2010, right? I mean, it's hard to know how people identified or what they might have put down on the form, right?
It's a challenge to compare before 2010. There is a slight decrease in the number or decline in the number from 2009 to 2010, but it's not significant. So while it may be difficult to compare, you can still get some general ideas for trends in enrollment.
And we're thinking that in general, something like 1% or more than 1% of North Carolina's population is Native American.
That's correct.
So, and obviously 87 students out of 19,000 is far less than 1%. What do we think is going on there?
You know, there could be a number of things going on there. It could be the way individuals self-identify. So we may have more individuals who are self-identifying as American Indian plus some other race or ethnicity, and they would not therefore be captured in that 87. But it also could be a way, a reflection of the recruitment efforts of the university or of others in the university system and the way that we go about attracting UNC students. It could also be a manner in which or an issue with respect to students' expectations or aspirations for themselves. So I think that there are a number of factors that could be at play. We just don't know yet.
So Ben Fry, what's your experience there with such a limited number of undergrads anyway? Is it a lonely place for you?
Well, I did my undergraduate work there. I graduated in 2005, and at that time, yeah, it was, because there were only, to my knowledge, there were only three Eastern Band Cherokee students there, and we were sort of our own little island.
And so were the majority of students have been who identified as Indian, were they from other bands, other groups?
Yeah. We had a lot of Lumbee students, several Halawasa Ponies, and various other members of North Carolina tribes.
So how does that work then? Do you identify as Native Americans or do you identify more closely as Cherokee or not at all? Assimilate?
I identify primarily as Cherokee.
And what does that mean then with your relationship with other Lumbee students, for instance?
Different perspectives, I suppose, you know, just coming from different cultures and having different traditions. And
is it important or necessary for you to identify or not? I mean, do you need to find sort of other Native or does it not matter too much?
Is it important to identify
for you? I mean, did you find it necessary or useful to find people who were Cherokee?
I did. I felt fortunate to find other Cherokee students on campus, but I was also involved in the Carolina Indian Circle, and I was able to make connections with people from other tribal nations, and I was happy to be able to do that. They were very friendly and welcoming, and enjoyed dealing with them as well.
Well, Amy, tell us about the American Indian Center at UNC Chapel Hill. What does it do?
Sure. We were created as a public service center at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and our mission is quite grand. It says to bridge the richness of Native cultures with the strengths of Carolina in research, education, and service. And we go about our mission through four different types of engagement. We engage students across campus in their personal and their professional development. We engage the campus community as they intend and try to reach out to the Native communities across the state of North Carolina and beyond. And that means connecting faculty and students to individuals and groups and tribes and nations. We engage the Native communities across the state, particularly the state of North Carolina, but outside the state as well, on issues that are important to Native communities and opportunities around health, around leadership, and around asset building. And then finally, we engage scholarship. So we find ways to incorporate this material into the classrooms, to engage students in their practicum experiences, and also to assist faculty or support faculty in their endeavors as well.
And why are those things important?
Those things are all important. First of all, we were charged with the mission of serving North Carolina's First Peoples. And so we've built a very strong, what I believe to be a very strong relationships with the eight tribes and the four urban Indian organizations across the state of North Carolina, and have engaged with building relationships outside the state as well. But that trust relationship that we've been able to create with the nations and the urban Indian organizations is significant in that it allows and it provides the means, or sort of we serve as the intermediary for those tribes and nations and communities to connect to university resources. Likewise, we serve as the intermediary for the university to connect to tribes as well and to the nations. And so some people consider us the front door. We're the front door for the university to Native nations in the state, and the front door for Native nations to the UNC system or to the university as well.
Well, I wonder how important that was to you, Ben, as an undergrad. Did you feel a kind of culture shock going to UNC?
Yes, I did, because I had never really encountered that kind of diversity of Native culture before, and I had also really never had to confront my own culture so thoroughly as I did there. I'd never really had to question it like I did as an undergrad at UNC.
Why did you have to question it, and what questions did you have?
Well, I had a roommate that sort of accused me of not being what I said I was and who I said I was and, you know, what proof did I have of all of this and stuff like that, and it sort of got me thinking, well, I have this card, and I've been discriminated against for my skin color growing up, but, you know, what does that mean? And does it go deeper than that?
Well, interestingly enough, your roommate was African-American, was that right?
Yes, that's right.
So you both had kind of connections with minority groups on campus.
Right.
And, you know, then you're sort of accused of not being minority enough, I guess, in that case.
Exactly. So he was sort of accusing me of misrepresenting myself.
Right.
And asking what right did I have to call myself Native American and et cetera and so forth. And so I had to really sort of find what my cultural roots were and exactly what it was that, you know, sort of justified my calling myself Native American or Cherokee or whatever.
Well, and what answers did you come up with?
For the most part, stories my mom told me when I was growing up about her childhood, connections that I had to my family, the kinds of beliefs and ways that my mother taught my sister and me to look at the world, and our place within our clan.
What was your experience going to UNC Chapel Hill, Amy, and how did you deal with that?
Well, it was many years before Ben's. It was at times that it was culture shock for me as well. I mean, I came from an urban environment. I am enrolled in the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina, but I'm also a descendant of the Coheri Indian Tribe, which are two of our tribes that are in the state. And my parents decided to move in between both tribes and raise me in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So I came from an urban environment, but was very, very much in tune with who I was as an American Indian person, an American Indian woman. And when I started Carolina, it was culture shock. It was culture shock in the just a different paradigm that mainstream society sort of views the world and engages with each other and with the world. And that was challenging for me, even given where I was raised. And so the Native students, we all found ourselves quickly, mostly through the Carolina Indian Circle. And that's how we created our own community on campus. You know, at that time, Frank, we didn't have faculty on campus. We had two administrators, one staff person who's still at the university, Danny Bell, and actually Dean Anthony Lockler, they were there when I was a student, and they supported us as students on campus because we just didn't have a faculty presence. So it was lonely. But for students, we found a home with each other, and that's how we, you know, made it through.
And you're still dealing with issues of stereotype and then the notorious tribal parties on campus. Tell us about those and kind of what you've run into along the way.
I wish we didn't have to talk about those, but, you know, we do. I have heard of current students who've had experiences with roommates or other people in their classes or people they may come in contact with having quote-unquote tribal parties or dressing in costumes, quote-unquote costumes, for Halloween, not understanding the actual implications of those actions, that American Indians are still here today, and we're not just a race of people, but we're actually tribes and nations of people. And that seems to be lost on some individuals. And unfortunately, our students sort of have to deal with that firsthand in the classroom and just in community.
On the State of Things today, we are talking about American Indian students at the UNC system. Amy Locklear-Hertel is director of the American Indian Center at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, one of the co-founders of Alpha Pi Omega Sorority. Ben Fry is a postdoctoral fellow in American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill and a member of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. And our conversation will continue on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio, today talking about American Indian students at the UNC system. Amy Locklear-Hertel is director of the American Indian Center at UNC Chapel Hill. Ben Fry, postdoctoral fellow in American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill and a member of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. Tell us about, Amy, about American Indian women leaving the UNC system.
You know, that's actually how Alpha Pi Omega Sorority Incorporated got started. There was a core group of us at UNC Chapel Hill who noticed that we were losing many American Indian women. We were not retaining them at UNC. And so the sorority came about as a way of creating a close sisterhood to help support one another while we were on campus at Carolina. We still have a trend of students female students who are not being retained, and so we still have some work to do in that area. The sorority has been a very strong network and has now over 500 sisters in about 26 states, so it's gotten quite large and has been quite successful. But we still are challenged with the retention of students. I think, Frank, that may have something to do with the matrilineal societies that we come from, and that women feel the need sometimes to go home, back to their communities, back to support their families. Remember, when I use the word family, I'm not just talking nuclear, but through a Native lens, a much broader family perspective. And so that's what I suspect, but we're still waiting to do some research on that.
Is the culture shock more different? I mean, more difficult when you're talking about living in communities, even going through high school, where you can maintain some of these ties and traditions. Once you get to the university, particularly if you're living away, that's when you find these big breaks, that where the difference between nuclear family, which is a norm, and not your norm, becomes a vital difference. And so trying to adjust to that must be very challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a short story. When I was a student in undergrad at Carolina, and I was taking a family communications class, and I remember all semester long we were examining our communication patterns within the family. By the time the semester ended, the project that I had worked on told me that my family was enmeshed and overly communicative, and that was not a normal family dynamic. And I remember feeling quite confused that how then have we been able to succeed? And this is part of my strength is my family, but in the Eurocentric view, that's not a strength. And I've really struggled with that for quite a few years.
Well, it's a couple of things. First of all, humankind got here by being enmeshed and overly complicated. And sadly, only in the last 400 years have we atomized ourselves to this pathological condition. But beyond that, I'm talking about now how you adjust to that. I mean, you can have an intellectual reaction to that, as you expressed, but that's not your first reaction to that, is it?
No.
When you read that?
Not at all. The first reaction is, why are we so different? Is there something, I think at that young age, I'm thinking, is there something wrong with us that makes us different? Now I know that's one of our beauties and one of our strengths. But at that time, I didn't have I wasn't able to have that realization. I was wondering what was wrong with me.
Yeah, Ben?
I had exactly the same reaction. I used to get into sort of ideological conflicts with people or arguments all the time, and I never realized why. It's like, why do I have such a fundamental disagreement with you about that, how to see the world? And then I started reading about, you know, Cherokee culture and books and anthropological works and historical works. Cherokees believed X, Y, and Z. And it's like, oh, I don't need to read this book. My mom told me that when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, oh, and you still think this way.
Right.
For example, one time I had a disagreement with the girl I was dating at the time about reciprocity. And she sort of got irritated at me because I was always trying to reciprocate gift giving, compliments, back rubs, and things like that. And she was like, you know, you don't have to do that. I'm not trying to sell you things. You don't have to, like, sort of repay me in this way. But from my point of view, it wasn't about repayment. It was about this general ethos of harmony and reciprocity in everything that you do. And for me, it was just a knee-jerk reaction. And I actually had to hold that back sometimes. It's like, okay, don't reciprocate. Don't return it.
Well, so that leads to the bigger question and perhaps the sadder result. If you're going to succeed, if you're going to be, you know, get your PhD and thrive in this academic environment, what do you do with that culture that you brought with you?
You learn to shift gears in various situations and learn to wear multiple hats. This is sort of what I had to do because I even got culture shock going to grad school in Wisconsin. Because I grew up in Alabama off the Quala boundary, and from Alabama to North Carolina wasn't that different. Then after UNC, I graduated and went to Western Carolina University for a year, and I was able to be home a lot more. And while I was working on the Quala boundary, I worked for the Cherokee Education and Training Program, I worked for the Cultural Resources Department. Which would become the Gaduah Preservation Education Program, the language program, effectively. And I realized, wait, why is everyone acting like my family? Everyone acts like my mom and my sister here. So that sort of way of cultural navigation that I had at home was all of a sudden applicable everywhere as long as I was on the Quala boundary. And it was very confusing. And then I shifted gears entirely and went to the Midwest. And so all of a sudden, all your politeness norms go out the window. For several years, I thought, oh, people are so rude here. They don't come and ask me questions, and they don't come over to see me when I move into a new apartment. And, you know, they act like they're just not interested in me whatsoever. And then I've come to find out that politeness norms, they revolve around space and giving people personal space. They don't want to be invasive or intrusive. I'm like, oh,
yeah. Okay. That explains these people in the Midwest. So let me ask you this, though. Well, Amy, kind of the same question, so I'll ask you about that, sort of how you navigate the two worlds. But I'm going to append to that another part of the question, which is there a way to, for what you bring, your norms and culture, to inform the larger culture through the academy?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, one thing I believe that the American Indian Center provides now, and I strive to make sure the center provides, a space for American Indian students, particularly who are struggling with the paradigm shift, with walking in these two worlds, a place for them to come together, for us to come together and get back on the same page, come to a place where their cultural norms are accepted and actually celebrated and practiced, so it's a familiar space to them, but also where we can talk about these challenges that they may experience in the academy or with their roommate to sort of help them get through those situations. One thing, though, that we also do, you know, we definitely work with our native students on campus, and that's quite important to us, and we will continue to do that. But we also work with our non-native students on campus because the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill is educating many service providers that will be engaging and interacting with American Indian clients and individuals across this entire state. And so we work very hard. We've been fortunate through the School of Government, through the School of Law, to engage native and non-native students on projects that impact American Indian communities, so they understand that there's a cultural shift and there's a paradigm shift when engaging with different populations, and so that they can practice that and explore that in education before they get into the real world.
What can be done on campuses? Well, let's stick with UNC, but I'm sure it's any campus to make it more welcoming for Native students.
One thing I believe that we have at Carolina that I know other institutions don't, and I'd like to see it happen, but is space. Space for the Native students to come together. Otherwise, very often, it's the Native community on campus can become invisible. so dispersed. So the actual space to come together is important. And also I'd like to add, you know, there are hundreds of American Indian tribes and nations across the state, across the country, federal and state recognized. So when you're talking about over 800 of these, actually 600 of these, if you federal and state, then there's a lot of diversity. But what I will say is that in general, American Indians are place-based people. And so to have that place to come together and a place to sort of call home away from home makes a significant difference in the way that the students are able to navigate the university system. And also key and critical, I believe, is having an American Indian or ally, faculty or administrator on campus who can help them navigate the very complex system that can be the university.
Ben, would you have anything to add to that?
I would say the Department of American Indian and Indigenous Studies has been extremely helpful in that regard, because now we do have a place where we can go to consult with Native faculty, and places, I would just add, is very important. I would like to throw my two cents in on that. I run a Cherokee language coffee hour every Friday at the American Indian Center. And without that kind of space, you know, we would have to possibly shuffle around from room to room, get different facilities and things like that. But we have a reliable space to go. And I teach the Cherokee language for about an hour through immersion. And I apply techniques from communicative language teaching, which I learned teaching German and Dutch at the University of Wisconsin. And so it gives me a place to do that and a place to sort of replace the Cherokee language and get it back out into the social atmosphere. And my research revolves around language and community. And so giving language a space and allowing it to be spoken in public in as many domains as possible is sort of what my research program is all about. And by having that space, it gives the language somewhere to grow.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Ben Fry, a postdoctoral fellow in American Studies at UNC Chapel Hill, a member of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. Emmy Locklear Hertel is director of the American Indian Center at UNC Chapel Hill, one of the founders of Alpha Pi Omega Sorority, which is the country's oldest Native American Greek letter organization. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks.